And now, I'd like to show my love by making for you a kebabitsa.
What's that?
Pop-Tart with the ketchup. She's good.
Daniel Parmak, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Ba-da-la-la-la.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 115 for April 9th, 2015. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like Trending Mobile Technology, Anything Goes, and All One Aside. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. We are back from our 1 week, actually, a 3-4 weeks sabbatical, fully recovered from my all beer inside drinking binge. And we are back first with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Time to play the game.
We have Killer Carpe Diem.
It is National Beer Day. Everybody celebrate with a beer.
Or two. Or some shots. We
beer,
have Kebo Trek.
Shots.
Shot. I don't have the clip, dude. There's Kebo Trek.
I have my beer in hand.
And we've got Katie, the First Lady.
Hi, it's good to be back. I'm just having water because I'm boring.
Hey, do you know what? That's probably a smart thing. All right, let's get into the weekend. Let's get into the news. Hey, cut me some slack. It's been a month. Let's get into the news.
Too many beers already.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
All right, first news story. Fast and Furious makes about $1 billion at the box office. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about how they manipulated video to get Paul Walker into this movie. Most of the scenes were shot already, but they had to kind of jerry-rig some stuff at the end. They did some layering over his brothers who...
Mm-hmm.
So what was it, like a digital, they imposed his face or something?
It was CGI. Okay. They put like his face, his brothers were like stand-ins for him, and they CGI'd his face. Like, they took out certain scenes from his face on their brother's face. So, it looked pretty real.
Did they use existing dialogue, or how did that work?
I think so. You know, they might have recorded stuff prior. But, I mean, the end result, it looked pretty realistic. You know, it almost looked like he was actually there. So, I liked it.
Say if you didn't know that they messed with it, would you, if you had a decent eye, could you catch that it was CGI?
Probably, but you know, if you're like in the moment and watching the movie, you would believe that he was there.
Kevbo, any other occurrences of this happening in other films? I'm trying to think where an actor has died kind of midway and they've done something like this.
Good question. I can't think of anything.
Queen of the Damned.
Was that finished though? When
she'd finished filming her scenes, but a lot of dialogue was fucked up, so they had to bring in her brother and they like digitized his voice in it.
Shit, I didn't even catch that. There was another one where I know like Ninja Turtles was reshot and stuff like that, but it was shot around certain, because apparently what's his name is supposed to be Shredder, and they kind of shot around it because they changed it the last second. The guy from Prison Break there.
Oh, wait, no, but he was Shredder, no?
No, he wasn't. He was like Shredder's buddy or whatever. Or he was but he originally was supposed to be Shredder. And they changed it. They changed it to some Asian.
Oh, they actually did change it.
I think the biggest one of all would be the Crow.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay, so you're saying Crow
Brad
did a bunch of CGI.
They got shot by a stunt gun, and they had to do a lot of scenes where they were filming like far away.
Well, like how much of the movie?
A decent amount of it, from what I understand.
Wouldn't that ruin it, though? I mean, 3/4 of the movie, your main star is like a mile away.
Well, it's for like some of the action scenes that were pulled away.
I heard that, too.
Okay. Any other iterations? I'm trying to think now.
River Phoenix.
I heard somewhere like that movie Gladiator where Oliver Reed passed away and they sort of did that to his face similar. I've read somewhere about that.
Okay. So, yeah, it has happened. And, I mean, the technology today.
So, yeah, it was in 93. The movie was nearly complete at the time of the shooting, but a stunt double was needed to finish a few remaining scenes. But Lee's face was digitally superimposed onto the stunt double's body for a few shots. Despite widespread rumors that asserted Lee's fatal scene remained in part of the movies, it was actually cut.
I mean, you see Van Damme. I know they kind of imposed his face in Double Impact there. But, I mean, you know, different circumstances. And, of course, the digital effects weren't as they are now. So I'm curious to see, you know, what scenes I can maybe cash the CGI on. So that's also another thing, just to see how they did it. So, yeah, no spoilers, because I don't want to spoil it for myself. I'm a little greedy this week. All right, Carp, what do we got for this week?
Arnie in a zombie flick.
I mean, this makes sense. I don't remember him being in anything else, really, zombie-esque, unless you count Terminator to be some kind of cyborg zombie thing. But no, he hasn't really done anything like this. This is kind of cool. So Schwarzenegger is scheduled to star in Maggie. IndieWire shares the official one sheet for Henry Hobson's zombie film Maggie, which stars Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, Abigail Breslin from Zombieland and Science and Final Girl, and Jolie Richardson. In a film, a Midwestern farmer stays by the side of his beloved teenage daughter, even as she slowly turns into a cannibalistic zombie in this daring, genre-bending debut feature. Maggie will be making its world premiere at the Tribeca Film Fest on April 22nd and will officially hit theaters and video on demand on May 8th. Interesting that it's doing both on demand and theaters. Don't know if that would be a good idea, but I'm curious to see how well this does. I mean, you know, you see we've seen this before in movies. I don't know if it's been, Carb, you can probably answer this, if a movie's been based on kind of the slow turn of somebody into a zombie and that's the majority of the movie. I mean, we've seen a Resident Evil kind of like, but then they just land up capping a guy in the head. So, but it's not the primary basis of the story. In this case, it is. Schwarzenegger, I think he'd be a perfect fit for a zombie movie. You keep them low budget, high return. So I think it's a good idea. What do you think?
I'm really looking forward to this because it's Arnie and it's a zombie movie. The only thing I can think of as a slow turn would be this one that came out during Fantasia last year called The Return. Basically, there's kind of a like zombie antibiotic so that some people like are preventing the turn from happening if they catch it in time. And unfortunately, the medication runs out. So you actually see one of the characters who Kev knows from Lost Girl, he plays the wolf guy. He actually slowly turns into a zombie. So it's pretty cool.
So yeah, it's definitely a yay for you being our horror and zombie and fucking freakish guru. Anything fucked up, the zombievers and anything that's fucking weird, you're definitely into. So no, this is, I'm into this too. This looks pretty good. Hold on. She's familiar. Yeah. She was the little sister
of Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Yeah, yeah. And she was, what else was she in? She was in like some, kind of like an indie movie that got Oscar buzz.
Little Miss Sunshine.
It was like in a van. The whole movie was in a van and it starred
Said Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Don't forget she was also in Ender's Game.
Yeah. She was, yeah. Boom. Yeah, good point.
Yeah. But Many of us don't want to remember Ender's Game. Hey.
That low-grossing indie film.
I actually find this very interesting because you rarely see zombie movies as a drama. Like, it's always basically the same kind of thing where it's a shoot 'em up. And this seems to be more just like a drama with zombies.
What do they call it? A zomba?
the zombie.
A zomba?
Zombie comedies.
Zumba?
Zombies. So,
it's a zomba. Zomra? Katie, what do you think it is?
Well, it's certainly different for him. I mean, you're used to seeing him in certain kind of roles and stuff. But, I mean, it looks interesting. It'll be interesting to see how his character is in the movie. And zombies are all the rage lately. So it should be interesting. I would watch it.
Would you call it a zomba? A zomra?
Certainly not a zumba.
Or a zumba. Whatever the fuck it is, I'm game. Carp, I'll go.
If we get it, we'll probably get it at AMC or whatever it is at some point. So
yeah, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Or would you do theater or VOD?
I'd rather do theater. Like when we went to see Fido.
Yeah. No, Fido was good. I saw the Seth Rogen one on VOD. I thought it was cool. Supporting. you know, fuck North Korea, supporting
that crappy movie.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. It was Franco's best work.
That's not saying much.
I'm telling you, it's Franco's best work.
What, you didn't like him sucking off a gun in Spring Breakers?
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
Sucking, I choose to alpha. Ignore that movie and forget it.
It was Kev's favorite movie of the year. Heavy, what do you got? You said you were back, man.
I am back, but I'm getting to my mute button, so give me a motherfucking second. God damn it. Oh, fuck.
I got carb OCD, man. I'm going to tell you.
I'm working.
No joke. Okay, we're watching anything with Mania. We're watching Mania live. And it, like, bleeps for a second. He's like, no, what's going on?
I did a pay-per-view before. I tried to behave myself.
Slit your throat.
All right. My article is about Paul Feig in the movie that they're eyeing him as the next director, not counting Ghostbusters.
Yes, we got some Hasbro movie developing a Play-Doh movie. After the success of the Lego movie, Hasbro hopes to recreate some of the magic by partnering with 20th Century Fox to develop a live-action film based on their Play-Doh brand. Yes, according to Deadline, the studio is negotiating with Paul Feig, who is currently working on the coming Ghostbusters reboot, to direct. Feig helped develop a take for the film and then turned to Jason whatever Butler to produce the script. Unlike the animated Lego feature, which is already poised to spawn multiple sequels and spinoffs, made a shit ton of money, the Play-Doh film will reportedly be live action. So, okay, hold on. How the hell you do a live action Play-Doh movie?
I got it. They do a crossover with Mr. Potato Head. Because remember when you would push,
Mr. Play-Doh Head.
The Play-Doh through the Mr. Potato Head, it would grow his hair.
If you do a live action Mr. Potato Head, Ludacris has to star in it. The Justin Bieber roast. I thought it was funny. Okay. So what do you guys think about this? Live Play-Doh live action movie. Is it going to do as well as Lego?
Fuck no. This movie is going to do horrible. Like, I've probably been very skeptical of the Lego movie when they first were talking about it. But Lego has a brand behind it. You know, a bunch of stuff of Lego that is crazy popular. I mean, there's the video game series alone. Lego Batman, Lego Marvel, Lego Harry Potter, Lego Lord of the Rings. And they do really good amongst kids. And the history of Lego in general is quite simple. And oddly enough, I just watched a documentary on like their recent, not rise to power, but how they like went from going almost bankrupt to actually start making money again. But Play-Doh doesn't have that behind it. They don't have, I mean, granted, there is certain recognition of it, but this is like Battleship. You're turning something into a movie that shouldn't be made into a movie unless they find a right way to do it and market this towards kids. I think this is going to bomb. It's going to bomb horrible.
They're just going to the well, like whatever's left. I know Gem and the Holograms is coming out in October. And yeah, that's only not been on for 30 years. You know, that's going to work great. There's a Magic the Gathering movie in the works. That, I don't know. I think the nerds might, if they keep the budget low enough, that might work. But, I mean, what's next? Fucking Silly Putty, Ants in My Pants, you know what I mean? Fucking Jenga the movie, you know what I mean? The Connect Four, fuck. Like,
we already had Jenga. Oh, Jenga, my bad.
Yeah, Jenga Unchained. I see why they're doing it, because they're just trying to make some original property, make some money off it. But kind of like the Space Invaders thing, it's just going to have the name attached to it. I can't see how you can write a movie out of that, but... You know what? We might be surprised, but that's what's great about Lego Movie is they had all the rights to everything. So you could see Shaq, Batman, whatever, Star Wars in the same movie. And it was written properly, it was well done. So who knows? We might be praising Play-Doh for its $120 million opening. So I'll wait and see, but I'm not not looking forward to it anyways. Who knows? All right, moving on. Get into the movie review of the week. Anybody see anything?
Well, it's been a while, but since then.
It's been a month.
I've seen Run All Night, The Gunman, okay. And Wolf
Cop. Okay. Anybody else before we get into our reviews? Okay.
I'm the only one who's seen the carb show,
The Gauntlet. All right,
Run All Night. It was okay. It was what Taken 2 and 3 should have had violence level, because there was some good headshots and some good kills in it.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, for a movie that I was expecting a whole lot of shaky cam, there was almost next to none because they obviously used stuntmen and long shots for a lot of the action
Was there a lot of editing hiding Neeson?
For some of the fight scenes, yeah, because it was shot far away. Like, there was a fight between him and Common, the actor, well, the rapper slash actor, his character. Yeah. They were fighting in a building that power was out, but there was a fire, so it was smoky too. And yeah, so they were fighting that way. So you could see it was probably not either of them. Nice taking a burnt piece of wood to the guy's face to get him off you, which was cool. The son had little to no, like, he could have been played by anybody, Liam Neeson's son, I found, because he basically just ran away from the cops or the mafia. So
he was essentially the male version of Maggie Grace doing nothing.
Well, this Neeson wouldn't let him shoot anyone because he didn't want him to be like him in the end. An old washed up guy who was having nightmares about all the people he killed.
So, he does multiple sequels.
So,
okay, well, if that great spoiler,
maybe actually, you never know, but I don't think there will be anyways.
Yeah, whatever.
It didn't do all that great well job. Either. So, I don't know. For me, it was like a 5.5
spoiler alert. Spoiler
5.5 Neeson using a magnum, not a semi-automatic. The fuck is it? Like a six shooter.
Anybody get shot in the dick?
No, nobody gets shot in the dick.
Fuck this movie.
There's a lot of chest and headshots though.
Okay, there you go. Well, would you recommend it on a Cheapy Tuesday?
Cheapy Tuesday, but more than likely Netflix.
VOD?
I did Cheapy Tuesday for a matinee, so it was even cheaper than it normally is.
You know what? Let's set our kind of levels now, because we always say either download or whatever. Let's say you've got, like, opening day. Then that goes down to Cheapy Tuesday. The third level is VOD, and then the fourth level is Netflix. So that...
Well,
you'd say Netflix.
Because aren't VOD sometimes like $15?
Well, listen, let's say it's a rental, okay? Let's assume $3.99.
All right, $3.99 is fair.
Okay, so VOD for you.
I didn't need the big screen environment to me. If you have a decent sound system or like a pair of digital headphones or something.
If you have a pair of headphones.
Digital.
If you have a TV.
The sound is all right. So
analog headphones, no way.
I don't think you could do analog headphones for anything anymore. Now The Gunman. Basically, Sean Penn's Taken, I'd say. Better than Run All Night, and a lot better than Taken 3 was. Some nice violent kills. Sean Penn's character has post-concussion syndrome, so he'll, like, have a gun battle or whatever, and that'll be all super fucked up because of it, because his brain's, like, taking all sorts of damage, which was cool. It's a nice little twist on something new. A couple of, like, double agent-style things that you kind of didn't see coming at points. And then there was one that was, like, super glaringly obvious. Partial antagonist, Bardem. Javier Bardem did a great job acting in this, like he has in most of his films. So if you're going to go check it out, Sean Penn, great acting. Javier Bardem, good job as well. And the woman that Penn is in love with actually does a pretty decent job as well. Great, awesome final kill as well. I'm not going to say anything, but I thought it was pretty cool.
Does he shoot him in the dick?
It involved kind of a running of the bull scenario.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
So that was a lot more enjoyable. I definitely check it out on Cheapy Tuesday. For me, it was a 7 Sean Penn shooting Somalian pirates in the head at a 10.
And how do you hold up action-wise? Because I don't remember him in really any kind of action.
He was surprisingly buff for a dude his age. So,
he bulked up a bit.
And he looked like an action star.
Okay. There you go. Who knows, man? Who's next on the action block? You know what I mean? You got Hanging with Mr. Cooper's coming back for fucking... who knows? You know what I mean? Like, I would like to see fucking Madea, but like the actual guy, Tyler Perry.
As an action star?
Maybe he could do some kind
of... Inside of Alex Cross, totally sucking ass.
Nah, that was terrible, that fucking movie. I mean, who else would you put? Bob Saget. Give Bob Saget a fucking... badass action.
I prefer Bob Saget when he's a super crude comedian.
Everywhere you look.
Sean
all right. Sean
the Wolf Cop.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, we got our last, probably the greatest movie ever. Wolf Cop.
Tagline, like Dirty Harry, only hairier.
This is right up your fucking alley.
If you like B-movie horror or you want to go check out a Fantasia-style flick, came out on Netflix last week. Check out Wolf Cop. This was, I thought it was great. I really looking forward to a sequel because there's rumors of a sequel. Oh, ironically,
Wolf Cop back in time. He goes back in time. To ironically take enough, out.
The guy who becomes Wolf Cop, his name is Lou Garou, which Lou in Garou. French is a werewolf.
That's smart.
There's this scene where he hooks up with a chick who's dressed like Red Riding Hood, and they play Moonlight Desires by Gowan. Yeah, it was just all sorts of awesomeness. Definitely, if you're a B-movie guy or horror and you want to see a cop become a werewolf, definitely check out Wolf Cop. Great Canadian actors as well. filmed in Saskatchewan, so you could see the plains of Saskatchewan.
What do you mean the plain? It's fucking grass. That's all you're seeing is fucking wheat. There's no trees. There's no mountains.
You know, great Fantasia flick, and I highly suggest checking it out.
That's probably the only movie ever filmed in Saskatchewan ever.
For me, it is a 9 Wolf Cop face tearing offs out of 10. Also, the first time he turns into a wolf cop, he's taking a leak, and he sees cock, so I'm sure Will will love this movie.
All right. Any shots to the dick in this movie?
There's slashes. Yeah, there's a slash to the dick. There's slashes to the stomach. There's a throat rip.
All right, slashes to the dick. That's fine.
He rips off a guy's face. You see the skeleton underneath, and the guy's running around like, oh, I'm in pain. Ah. So...
Yeah, because that'll happen. But okay,
You know, no CGI shit. So definitely check it out if you like this kind of stuff.
Wolf Cop, highly recommended by Carp. Take that as you will. Let's get into the.
Wait, was that called? Was that called Wolf Cock?
Wolf Cop.
No, Wolf Cock is the porn parody that Will stars in.
Will wants to star it.
Comes
with the Will,
and with every purchase of Wolf Cock, you get a free bag of dicks.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, on that note, let's get into the box office for this week. Break it down. All right, Carp, let's break down the numbers.
So week. First place to probably nobody on the planet's surprise would be Furious 7, pulling in a domestic number of $147.1 million on Easter weekend. I believe it's on pace for $1 billion worldwide at this point because the foreign number would be 245.
Man, at this point, it's like they've come out with 7. Has this ever happened? Like anywhere close? This is the 7th sequel. I know they have Rock, which and it's proven now that Rock is franchise Viagra. I mean, it's quite obvious. But like, it just makes no sense to me. It's like the same fucking movie, the 7th iteration. Yeah, they brought Statham in, which I think was a great idea. Mm-hmm. Rock's been in there now. And probably a lot of curiosity because of how they did maybe Paul Walker as well. But it shocks me. Go to the well every time and they're still making a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's nonstop. What do they do with this franchise? Are they just going to keep re-releasing it, I guess? Are they just going to run this into the ground? That's what I think they should do.
That's what's
going
to happen. I mean, if they've already made double what the budget, like the estimated budget for the filming cost was 190. Worldwide, they're at 406 right now. And they're saying this is going to be Universal's billion-dollar baby. So,
I was going to say, the one thing that I think, like, I'm not a big fan of this series, but I also feel like it's this series that's been divided up into two different parts. You have pre-Tokyo Drift and post-Tokyo Drift, which really aren't, like, I mean, it did so great before, then it did shit, and then it went on this, like, hiatus for a while, and then they popped back up, bigger, better than ever, and didn't even put a number by the first movie, I mean, the first movie that, whatever series that was. And then when they came back, they're like, oh yeah, we're kicking back into gear, and we're going to explain everything, so Tokyo Drift wasn't total shit. So it's like, they were able to revive themselves, which was really good for that series. I think if they would have kept going at the rate they were after Tokyo Drift, this would probably be shit.
Okay, we're going to steal this from Dan the Cannon's podcast. Agree or egregious, Vin Diesel is the reason why it's making a shit ton of money. His rebirth or his coming back to the franchise is what saved it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, him returning in the 4th iteration or the prequel to Tokyo Drift, whatever. Yeah. I mean, because even Too Fast, Too Furious starring Paul Walker and Tyrese Gibson didn't do all that well. And then Tokyo Drift just proved that you can't just put anybody in the movie.
Katie, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree to a point. I mean, I think credit has to go to the whole cast because they were such unique characters in general. But him being involved was a major selling point.
Heavy.
I want to say agree. I want to say everybody, but kind of an unrelated note. I happened to be reading an article. I don't remember if it was last week or over the weekend. Might have been over the weekend that Ja Rule was supposed to be in more movies after the, I think, because he's in the first one, right?
Yeah, but he's got a bit part.
They offered him more in the second movie, and that's when he was starting to blow up, and he basically blew them off. And now,
yeah, great move, yeah. Ja Rule. What are you doing now? We're gonna win these.
The first person they called was Ludacris, and Ludacris has been writing it ever since. They even like pointed out in the article that I read, like, look at how like everything's changed. Like Ludacris is still pretty big, still, and you know these movies help with it. And Ja Rule, like he was big and all this stuff, but now he's nothing.
Nada.
but
yeah, great.
The thing
movie,
with
idiot.
This movie, like I think we're gonna see it peak in terms of box office with this movie. I don't think it'll go higher than the rest of them. I think it'll be kind of like The Dark Knight, where I think part of it, like the reason it did so good, was the curiosity with Heath Ledger, and I think it'll be the same for this. It's still going to make a crap ton of money the following movies, but I think we'll see it peaking with Furious 7. And just one quick thing I found very interesting was how they rebooted the series after the fourth one, where they made, instead of like, before they were more street racing movies, and from 5 on, they kind of became like heist movies. So they did a really good job of keeping that base there, but reinventing the movies to like, because I guess there's only so much you can do with, you know, street racing movies.
No, and you know that Paul Walker hick fucking retarded guy in the third one? He almost killed the franchise.
Oh my god, he was so bad.
Single-handedly almost buried them.
Another thing, just quickly, I was reading was that like 75% of the people who are going to see this movie were non-white, and I think they've done a really, really great job of having like a very diverse cast, which oftentimes you don't see still in movies today.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kev.
Not at all.
All right.
Second place would be the animated feature Home, starring Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory, pulling in $27 million on its second week for a total of $95 million on a $135 million budget. I mean, I assume it'll make its money back in the end, so maybe. It's got worldwide of 83, so yeah, it's not too shabby by Fox. Third place, also in its second week, would be Get Hard, the Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell comedy, pulling in $13.1 million for a total of $57.2 million on a $40 million budget. Fourth place, in its...
Can we just get the... I know we're kind of running long in the box office, but I'm a little surprised at that number because they promoted that shit out of this. They are on every fucking talk show. They were on Jimmy Fallon doing the lip sync battles. They were fucking everywhere with this. Kevin Hart is a known commodity. He's a box office draw. So is Will Ferrell. You would figure this would do really well. That number is really
low. It's a bit of viewer fatigue. Like I saw for
who though?
I guess obviously more Will Ferrell, but maybe to a smaller extent Kevin Hart. Because when I love The Wedding Ringer, I had never seen a Kevin Hart movie, and I'm like, this is great. But I imagine after 4 or 5 times of kind of seeing the exact same thing, I don't know, maybe it gets old, and I know that's how I clearly feel about Will Ferrell. And the thing with this movie, it's going to make nothing on the foreign market. Like Ferrell's movies, usually do nothing foreign-wise.
Yeah, but Kevin Hart's a draw.
I don't think he's a worldwide draw. He's more, if anything, he's a North American draw.
All right, sorry.
And continue with fourth place for its fourth week, pulling an additional $10.1 million is Cinderella, the live-action version, for a total of $167.1 million on a $95 million budget. Fifth place is the sequel to Divergent, Insurgent, pulling an additional $10.1 million for a total of $103 on a $110 budget. For sure they'll be making the sequel. I mean, it also pulled in $124 million. So.
Yeah, next one's called Detergent.
Well, it's going to be in two parts. So it's going to be like pre-wash and then wash. or detergent.
Post-wash.
Sixth place would be a horror film called It Follows, which I want to see when it finally...
What is it
called? Well, It Follows is about a sexually transmitted demon.
Okay, I thought you were going somewhere else there. What follows after the clap is what happens in this movie.
It pulled in $2.5 million for a total of $8.5 million in 4 weeks. I'm sure it's well above made its money back already. Seventh place is something I've never heard of called Woman in Gold, starring, looks like British people. Woman in Gold. It's some sort of drama from the Weinsteins. Its opening week pulled in $2 million, so nothing. Kingsman still staying strong in the top 10 for an additional $1.8 million for a total of $122.3 million domestic, with an additional $247.5 million foreign.
Fuck
on an $81 million budget.
Fuck yeah. It's one of the movies I'm really happy to see.
If you have not seen this movie, you have to see this movie. That's it. That's all. There's no argument.
First see Wolf Cop, and then see Kingsman.
I mean, it's been out 8 weeks now. It's been in the top 10 all 8 weeks. Fox is very happy. The creator of the Kingsman is laughing. So, I mean,
he's laughing at you if you haven't seen this movie.
He's also literally looking forward, I'm sure, to working with any of these actors again if they could pull out this thing. Ninth place is a movie called Do You Believe? I have no idea what it's about. It's a drama. It looks like it's about Jeebus from the poster.
Do you believe in shots to the dick?
So, $1.5 million for a total of $9.8 million for 3 weeks. And in 10th place will be the second best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Followed by the third best exotic Marigold Hotel on Netflix.
Exotic Marigold Hotel.
That's like the shit. Yeah, it's like if you work so there, it's like.
We got total gross of $30 million over 5 weeks on a budget of $10 million. Not much else to say. I don't know. Well, I'm apparently the only one who's seen anything in the last month. So.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Kingsman, but yeah, apart from that.
I saw a movie from 2014.
Yeah, it's been pretty. It's the selection of, I mean, Fast and Furious, obviously. I'm going to check that out this week.
Frank Crap, like, last while, other than Kingsman, well, what's really been good that's been out?
Get Hard.
Cinderella's pulled in a shit ton of money.
Yeah. Run All Night, I was going to maybe check out on a Tuesday, but now
Curse. Go see The Gunman, I'd say. If you go check out.
Yeah. Gunman's interesting too. All right, a couple movies. Actually, not that much coming out this week. What is it?
Some drama called
The Longest Ride.
Romance, not a drama.
It's a Zombra. Whatever the fuck.
The only actor I know that I've seen is Alan Alda. So,
wow. Okay, let's play the trailer and get our thoughts.
What am I in for here?
Let's go!
Hey!
Keep it. I met a girl.
You meet girls all the time.
No, not like this. This one's different.
We come from such a different world. But I've never felt this way about anybody. No one has ever done anything like this for me before.
Okay, is this fucking 50 Shades of Grey?
I was going to say that.
50, seriously, 50 Shades of Grey meets Wild West or some fucking...
50 Shades of Grey meets 8 Seconds.
Meets 8 Seconds. Yeah. 50 Shades of Seconds. That makes sense. 8 Seconds of Grey. I like that better.
See that?
What?
Call 911!
I just came to drop this off.
Where'd you get that?
From your car?
I haven't been able to read these for years.
You want me to read them to you?
What is this, The Notebook?
April 10th, 1940. My dearest Ruth. I'll remember that dress you wore even when I've forgotten my own name.
I wish I could tell you it'll all be happily ever after. Not everybody gets that.
You did.
Wasn't that simple? It was
Luke, you need to stop. Or next time, you're more likely going to pick him up at the morgue.
This is my life. It's all I know.
I can't be with someone if every time they walk out the door, I don't know if I'm going to see them again.
Promise me you'll come back.
I promise. Time comes around. I just don't know how to make this work.
I can't do this anymore.
Love requires sacrifice. But it's worth it.
Okay, this is a fucking, like, they took every fucking love story ever, along with 50 Shades of Grey. So this is like a 50 Shades of Grey, 8 Seconds, Notebook, and fucking every other kind of rom-com amalgamated into one fucking movie. Like, I wasn't going to see this to begin with, but now this just seems like a clusterfuck. Like, oh, man, fucking so much nay, it's ridiculous. Have you set?
Yeah, I did know that.
Actually, Katie, you're probably the closest one to see this on the panel. Are you rom-com chick?
I like a good romantic comedy if the story's right, but listening to this, it's too sappy for me. I might puke watching this.
Literally vomit all over the screen. What? I'm not even going to ask Carbon Kev.
Hey, I want to see this opening night. Want to go see
all
it,
right.
The only way I will ever witness this is if I get in writing from the female I'm watching it that I get to perform a deviant sex act on her after.
I knew where this is going. I absolutely knew Carp was going to say that. I've known him way too long.
So probably never. I don't think I've ever watched a romance ever. Probably not.
That's because of 50 Shades of Grey. Eh? You need a signed document now.
And I'm not a billionaire, waiver. I definitely need a signature. Maybe even like a lawyer approving it all and stuff. So
there you go. Anything on DVD?
I don't see. Is there anything listed? Nothing.
And that's some obscure shit. Nothing. Eh? What the fuck,
let's see what
man?
Amazon has to say.
Makes no sense. Like, it's not February. It's people go to the movie theater.
Yeah, but shit's not going to pick back up until May.
Yeah, probably until the summer. Well, actually, on digital, it's the Star Wars saga, all 6 parts.
There you go.
That's about the only thing.
Is that the one that's been fucked around by Lucas?
It is?
I believe.
Ah, fuck it.
Disney or Lucasfilm, whoever, will get the rights back in 2019 where we can finally get, like, an unaltered version.
Yeah, Disney's going full board with that, right? Yeah.
Not even on Amazon there's anything listed. They only have for next week.
All right, let's get into feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Where do we leave 8 off? 8 months ago, so...
Yeah. So yeah, I think you're right.
It starts with DRG, watching Lionheart.
Great Lionheart movie. Was awesome. I mean, it's probably one of my favorite Van Damme.
I wasn't aware if I was reading them or not. Because he's got more than...
All right. Well, you know what?
So,
it's your show this
Mr. DRG, it would be watching Lionheart for the first time in forever. It's my second favorite Van Damme movie, only to Bloodsport.
It's hard to argue that. I mean, Bloodsport was fantastic, too. Bloodsport was great just because of the comeback, you know? Lionheart was cool because of all the different fighting areas, you know, fighting in a pool and a squash court and shit. The memories of that, like, even as a kid, I still remember that stuff, so... That's tough to argue, man. I can't disagree with
him. Andy Anderson. I am watching Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I'm not sure if I love it or hate it yet. For me, it was like an okay movie because you get to see Mary Elizabeth Winstead in lingerie. That's about it. I mean, I'm not a Sarah fan. The only time I was a Sarah fan was when for What Happens to Him and This Is the End.
I hated that movie.
Anybody else, I'm assuming, has not seen it from Silence?
Nope.
Okay. Stephen King says Guillermo del Toro's new movie is fucking terrible.
If you could read, Hooked on Phonics apparently didn't work for you because he said it was fucking terrifying.
Oops.
Not fucking terrible. little bit
terrible. I can't speak good smart SMRT.
Do you hang glitch?
From the trailer for, I believe it's Crimson Peak, I want to see Loki in a horror movie, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm assuming nobody else has seen the trailer for Crimson Peak. Hey, double A Andy Anderson shilling us. SAT Kata, Clismic, at Mounty, at Carp, hashtag OSATM, invading, at AWWIR, oh hell yeah. Lovenstein and NXT so far, can't wait for Zayn to return. So,
Yeah, that was that was our return call.
Mr. DOD, yeah, love the call. Excellent job by the cast of hashtag OSCTM. That's also for the wrestling thing. Devil Vamp. This movie review from at oldschoolmovies.net on hashtag 50 Shades of Grey is fucking hilarious. No anal fisting. What a prude. No butt plug. Lame.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Check out if you got 2 hours to kill. The full 2 hour live review.
Devil Vamp continues. Didn't the actor or actress drop out of the sequel of 50 Shades of Grey? I believe it's the main actor who played Christian Grey is dropping out.
No, but they're saying he's in, he's out, he's literally in and out.
I think if they up the $10 million to like 15, he'll probably re-sign, no problem. Yeah.
No, he's in. That's it. There's no way. If he does his first movie for $100,000 and says no to the next one, he's a fucking retard.
Devil Vamp continues with, I am over it. Please stop with these Liam Neeson movies. No more, please. No more.
I don't know about this one, Ron All Night, but the Taken movies somehow make money, so it's like that Fast and Furious, man. They're going to go to the well every fucking time until it doesn't make money anymore.
Well, there's rumors still of a Taken 4, so yeah, I guess so. Oh, and mentioning the only thing that's gone past 7, I think, is the Saw movies and the Friday the 13th. But for action flicks, I don't think anything's gone past like 3.
No, Saw ended at 7.
That's true. And then Friday the 13th, you have up to...
A police academy ended at 7, too. I
wanted to go to 8, but the studio was like, we're starting to trend down. Can you end the series now? And they're like, okay.
Piper the DJ, since I had mentioned, he always mentions his formal education when chewing out bitch-talking Will. He responds to me, even without formal education, I would still hate Birdman. I would still hate Birdman. Poor storyline, mediocre acting, Michael Keaton, hashtag OCTM.
By the way, he does have an education in cinema.
Throwing shit around in his head. Any person will tell you drama and sci-fi don't mix very easily. Hashtag fuck Birdman.
Hashtag fuck Will. Go ahead.
I'm so psyched to listen to the Cinderella trailer on hashtag OSTMTM, but it never got on. What the hell?
I got pissed. going back in time there, I refused to play the Cinderella trailer, citing that absolutely nobody would want to fucking listen to it, but...
And then
alas, I was incorrect.
Also says, I am fucking fuming. You didn't talk about Cinderella.
Yeah, fuck off. Fucking troll. Whatever. Fucking
Hallmark
cunt.
Of Swede. If you could pick two megastar actors and put them in the same movie, what two Wald you pick and in what kind of movie? For me, it Wald be Robert Downey Jr. and Johnny Depp in a buddy cop movie set in the 40s.
That's interesting.
Who would you, two megastar actors, and put them in the same movie?
I know this would be terrible. You'd have to do a lot of editing, but Schwarzenegger and Neeson in the same movie would be cool. Like, the action scene would be pure stunt doubles and fucking a lot of cutting, but I think it'd be fun to see it. How about Neeson as, like, a Terminator? Like, he'd have, like, the Irish kind of cyborg accent.
I have a particular set of skills to terminate you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I don't know.
Boy.
Who else?
It's, I mean, the thing is, with all the Marvel stuff, we're going to get to see, like, I would have said Chris Pratt with Robert Downey Jr., but we're going to get that at some point.
I mean, yeah. Expendables, really, it's any kind of action fan, fuck, yeah. I was like an amalgamation of everybody.
What about Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme?
That's so never going to fucking happen.
Teaming up in an
action
movie.
Teaming up in a drama.
Oh, God. You know what? He was good.
He was over the hill in the late 90s.
Made no sense how he would never take a punch.
Hallmark of Swede continues. I missed so many good movies from the 80s and 90s. Name 5 I should have seen, and next week I will tell you whether or not I have. There's like a million movies from the 80s and 90s.
Fuck yeah. I mean, if you're action, you said 80s
any
action.
Good movies from the 80s and 90s. So
80s. You know what? If you're looking for ideas, check out our archive page. We have the 80s. We did 4 episodes on just 80s movies. But if I'm thinking top of my head, Ghostbusters, Revenge of the Nerds, Karate Kid, Rambo, Rocky, Bloodsport.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future for sure. Yeah, all 3 Back to the Futures.
And it continues. That's
there's so many.
American
Wall
Ninja.
Street, there's so
like,
many.
It's like a Wall Street. Oh, man. Yeah, check out the arcade page. We We went in depth on a bunch of movies.
Just go Google top 100 movies from the 80s, watch top 5, and then top 100 movies from the 90s.
No, but listen, I know he can. He's not retarded. He can obviously do that. He's trying to humor us and get our opinion. Oh. So don't be a dick about what you Google it, asshole. Be a fucking dick. You're a dick. Check out the archive page. You get recommendations. Don't be a dick like Carl. You fucking Google. Would you? You know, you're a fucking dick. Anyways.
Ant the Vigilante, hashtag OSATM. Gonna be a Fraggle Rock movie? No, there's a kid. I think he meant now there's a kid's movie that I'm down with.
Fraggle Rock, man. Oh my
God. Marcel, if All Beer Inside is just going to be old school getting shit based the whole, then I'm listening every week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, you're shitting on my performance of last episode. It was fantastic.
That's all I'm saying.
Listen, I hosted the shit out of that fucking show. Hosted the
drunkenness out of that show.
Yes, but it's called All Beer Inside. I took all kinds of beer and shots. Like
30 minutes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But that's the thing. But I mean, what is the purpose of that show? It's to get shit-faced and fuck and just have fun. I did a great job of both. And maybe reading was a bit difficult at certain points. But who gives a shit? That's the purpose of the show. So, Charlie, go fuck yourself, because it was a fantastic show. Vamp, go fuck yourself. It was critically acclaimed. People. And now Carp's going to Carp's going to take over the show now, because apparently I can't host because I get too drunk. That's bullshit. Whatever. It's fucking bullshit.
All right. Double A. I have not seen any of the Jaws movies either. Definitely check out the first.
Katie, Jaws, go.
I think she said she was BRB.
Yeah, BRB.
Oh, okay. My bad. Heavy Jaws.
First one, guys.
I've never seen it.
Check it out.
Double A at MC Vigilante. Great. Now I have the Fraggle Rock theme stuck in my head.
That's awesome. I'm going to queue it up. Hold on. Keep going. Keep going, AA, retard.
Is any hyped to see Mission Impossible Rogue Nation that is coming out? I am. Kevbo?
Yeah, it looks good. Definitely we'll check it out.
I am a huge Cruise fan. He's probably one of my favorite actors of all time. Yes, it's 15 sequels, but he could still go. So why not?
Oh, the trailer makes it look really good, this next one.
I'll pass.
Guess don't stunt, and he's over 50.
Okay, double A, 1, 2, 3 times at the movie.
I had to play.
My wife's going to the movie Do You Believe tonight with some friends. I wished I could go, but I have kid duty. I don't think any of us want to see it. Mr. DRG, listening to hashtag OSATM 114. I fully agree. Cut out the jobber categories. Best solution, cut the entire academy and start over.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen because the ratings are way too high. Katie, I don't know if you heard on last week's show or last month's show, I guess, at this point, we were kind of seeing ways to tweak the Oscars. If we gave you the cutting, we turned you, okay, you're the producer of this. How do you make this cool? How do you get the ratings up? What would you do?
Oh, one of my favorite people that host Oscars was Hugh Jackman. I thought he did a great job. He did a lot of musical numbers and he was entertaining. I think he should host again, to be honest. It was a lot more fun. I mean, I watched the Oscars, but I'm no expert, so.
Would you get rid of anything? Would you chop something off? Would you give me an example of what we talked about? We'd shorten the show.
It. I mean, you don't have to give away a lot of, like, you know, the awards for, like, sound mixing and things like that. I mean, they're good. They're nice to give out, but nobody really cares to see it on TV. It's mostly about actors and actresses accepting the honor, so. I would cut some of those type awards, like save it for like, I guess they do like an award show like the day before, like where they do the governor's ball. I would do some of those on that show and then just leave like all the actors, directors type awards on the main show.
What if they put that in with the, because I know like women are huge into all what she's wearing and what she's wearing. But what if they were to cut to some of those kind of jobber categories throughout the pre-show and say, okay, let's throw it in this category. Oh, let's go back to the carpet.
I mean, I've seen them do that for like the Grammys. So that makes sense. I would do that as well. Yep.
Where the fuck were we there? I got lost there. I was playing Fraggle Rock.
And now it's Antivigilante. Hashtag OS, ATM. Super Troopers 2. Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Crowdfunding. It got full funding.
Its initial goal of $2 million in the first, I think it was 10 days. They're at 3.4 million right now. It's 17 days left of Indiegogo funding to be part of. I like their $25 million donation idea, which is the Indecent Proposal. If you kick in $25 million and provide our entire dream budget, we will be so grateful that one of us will father your child. Selling sex as a perk isn't allowed yet, and our wives would murder us. But one of us will act as a sperm donation, giving your child celebrity DNA. There are all kinds of legal issues here, so contacting us for more details before claiming this prize. Stars, celebrity is subjective to change.
Yeah, well, you know what? I actually want to get your thoughts on this, because Super Troopers obviously isn't 100% indie. You know, it's a known Broken Lizard guys. So, I mean, movie obviously was a cult classic. It did pretty good. Do you think it's fair that they turn to like an Indiegogo where there's kind of starving actors and actresses and filmmakers who are vying for that money and not... This was more like a pre-purchase to they were going to release the movie anyways. So this was maybe checking the popularity from the studio, was kind of gauging how well it was going to do. But it's kind of takes away from those unknown people who need the money. Agree or disagree?
I don't think it takes away at all. If people are willing to donate to what they want to, then this is a perfect opportunity for them to donate to it. Whereas they might not donate in anything else and they just keep the money. They wouldn't even give a shit about the other indie people out there.
They don't give a shit about you.
Oh, so, that's what I think. But it's teach their own. I mean, I see Super Troopers having a much larger fan base than Punk Rock Zombies. So,
yeah, that's for sure. I mean, yeah, it's the Veronica Mars thing. You know what I mean? I'm sure it did. It was going to be released anyways. But this is part of me that's like they're taken away from the whole main concept of this indie thing, which is really to fuel something that wouldn't have got produced anyways. But I understand why they do it. And you do have an argument that, you know what, these people might not have donated anyways. So.
I don't think this is us it's by this person, Con. There is freedom in surrendering. Hashtag HLTV. Hashtag OSATM.
It was 100% for us. Okay. I'm totally taking credit for it.
Hallmark Thank you, Con. Of Swede. Happy WrestleMania Day to one and all. And there's a lot of hashtags.
Yeah, baby.
Double A did at holdschoolmovies.net gets so drunk at all beer inside that he is not recovered to do a hashtag OSCTM. I believe that's part of the reason.
It took me a month to recover.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Kind of work obligations, obviously, but I got pretty fucked up.
And then our final one, what the hell? I thought it was at Mounty versus at Heavyset, not that movie critic classic that is at oldschoolmovies.net. Hashtag swerve, hashtag WIRXWM4. Hashtag OSATM.
Hashtag screw job.
Yeah, it's hashtag screw job. Yeah, but I've broken character before during our calls. Don't, it's all one, I'm all one character anyways. So, sorry to disappoint. Mounty will be back this week for all the WIR listeners. Okay. All right. So we've come to the end of the show. We are back, baby. 1 month hiatus. Back and ready to go. Plugs, final thoughts. We'll start with Katie, first lady.
It was fun being on here. I mean, I'll be on WrestleCast also this week. And, you know, maybe next week we'll all be back on talking about Fury 7 more. So
there you go. Awesome. Check her out on DSJNP stuff, which also can be found on the Trending Topics Network. Heavyset, plugs, final thoughts.
Of course, you can find me at Heavyset330. And there should be a new episode of Anything Goes posted by the time this episode finally gets posted, because I think it was this past weekend, myself, Mop, FTW, we decided to talk about WrestleMania, our thoughts, and what random conversations that came out of that. So it was pretty fun.
Did you answer my question finally?
The one that you tweeted?
Scarlett Johansson.
Because we didn't do any of those questions. We just talked pure wrestling and stuck away from Twitter. I just seen that recently, though, so we're going to have to do a normal episode.
Yeah. Answer my freaking question.
You could check me out on last week's podcast of At All Wine Aside, as well as Cerebral Satire, which I jumped in on for my first time. as well on Twitter at Killer Carpe Diem. And finally, as always, StableWars.com. We are always looking for new members as well. The WWE Stable Wars season is open for making your stable at this time. You can make your stables up till, I believe, Extreme Rules. So you got lots of time to make your stable. So come on by, make your stable, win a DVD, and see if you know wrestling better than we know wrestling. And by the way, you sucked at your WrestleMania picks. Well, Liam Neeson's cock.
So it's you know what fucking sucks? It's that fucking Ascension turning him into Sunday Night Heat jobbers. Fuck, they're losing everything. They're supposed to roll over everybody, and it get turned into fucking slapstick bullshit. They're fighting on superstars every week. Bullshit. Yeah, but Lucha, they were mad over. You see Kalisto's debut. Oh my god, Raw. Heavy. Any other Ohio indie report? What else? You got going on?
Ohio
indie. Aren't you on fucking every podcast ever
made? The Ohio Indie Report, there should be a new episode coming out within a couple weeks. I was supposed to do one last month, decided against it. Hopefully to have one up for the next show. I'm also on a show. Actually, I'll be on here. I'll be joining the show here in a couple minutes. It's called Macho Men Radio. I occasionally do spots on awesome. There. And we're in the middle of what's called, we're calling the All Things Awesome Tournament. And we do a NCAA style tournament where it was originally just a bunch of like random things, like maybe like you'd have like some TV shows, some athletes, some movie, just all a bunch of stuff. Well, this year it's just athletes. So
do they all have to talk in a Macho Man voice? That'd be great. They all have to do a Macho Man impression for the entire show.
No, but they are like Carp. They are Packers fans.
They are Packers. Yeah, I figured that. Okay. Kembo Trek, I hate to ask, but do you have anything to plug this week? You had about a month to prepare something. Let's see what you got.
I had nothing.
I think it's something along the lines of anybody in the Montreal area is hiring a bookkeeper.
There we go.
Yeah, sure. Monster. All right. For Kembo Trek, for Katie the First Lady, Heavyset, and Carp, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
From the filmmaker who ruined not one, not two, but three different superheroes, comes Catwoman for men. Daredevil. Before Netflix and Marvel Studios team up to hopefully do the character justice, return to the early 2000s, when superhero movies were still full of crappy CGI, Matrixing, Sopranos, and Izzy's.
Wilson Fisk is in the hizzy.
Fresh off Pearl Harbor and Geely, 2003's least favorite actor Ben Affleck stars as Matt Murdock, a boy granted superpowers after running face first into an absurd amount of gigantic unsecured toxic waste containers. With his eyesight taken from him, he'll use his other four senses to see perfectly, yet still dress up like a blind guy to score sympathy points with hot chicks.
What are you?
Blind? Yeah.
I am so sorry.
That's okay.
Which gives Ben Affleck an excuse to show off his stupid cross-eyed derp face. Irma Gerd, it's the Derp Devil. By day, he's a lawyer who's terrible at his job.
Another rapist back on the streets.
But by night, he's the Daredevil. A vigilante who beats up the man he's too incompetent to prosecute.
I was quitting.
Not by me.
And lets innocent people die so we can have PG-13 sex with Jennifer Garner.
I have to go.
Stay with me.
Cheer for a superhero who's barely more powerful than your average cop as this poor, poor man Spider-Man fights crime with an odd grab bag of powers like super jumping, creepy smelling, and super heart rate monitoring. So he's a human lie detector and he still can't win a case? Wow. Just wow. Along for the ride on Daredevil's generic, directionless quest for justice is Elektra Nachios, a girl who, for the first half of the movie, is really just there to look hot.
You are so beautiful.
Doesn't she look beautiful?
Beautiful tonight.
I wanted to look beautiful for you.
So hot that Matt will add stalking and sexual harassment to his growing list of crimes.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait a second. Take it easy.
I don't like being touched.
Why don't you tell me what you do like? We'll start there.
See, kids? If a girl doesn't like you, beat her up until she changes her mind. Witness the least subtle superhero movie since Batman and Robin as Elektra and Daredevil team up against the Kingpin, a man who wants to be a kingpin, and Bullseye, a man who targets things
As if the giant f***ing target on his head wasn't enough of a giveaway.
Bullseye.
But if you still manage to get lost, don't worry, because Ben Affleck will explain everything in voiceover that sounds like he's just waking up from a coma.
My sense of sound gave off a kind of radar sense. There are days when I believe, and others when I have lost all faith. I had set out to save the city, but with Elektra's help, I saved myself instead.
Sorry, what?
So settle in for what's basically Ben Affleck's really disappointing audition to be the next Batman, where he plays a brooding loner who becomes a vigilante crime fighter after his dad is murdered by criminals in an alley, uses a ridiculous Batman voice when he's in costume.
What do you want?
Justice.
Stay out of Hell's Kitchen.
Travels by grappling hook. Is scared of bats. And refuses to kill.
That's the sea train!
Oh, wait, never mind. He'll totally kill.
I'm not the bad guy.
Yeah, you kinda are, though. Starring a soundtrack full of the 2000's worst new metal bands, POD, Hooba Stank, Seether, Drowning Pool, Evanescence, Evanescence again, and Nickelback. Batfleck begins. Shouldn't that be in Braille?